Creation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Lohse.
Still here, John.
And we're speaking with Robert Lang, who is the Commissioner of the Solid Waste Management Authority in North Hempstead. And we were just talking quickly at the break in reference to people taking your cans and stuff.
Right.
And we have somebody in the neighborhood, too, the poor lady, and she just bundles around her. But I was told you could. In Long Island, the Attorney General said once you put it past your stoop.
But you don't own it anymore.
You don't own it.
That's true.
So anybody's entitled to take it.
And there is no law against it in the town of North Hempstead.
Right, okay,
but
okay.
As I said, in New York City, there are laws against what's called scavenging or poaching.
Scavenging, okay. And it's in my mind, there shouldn't be. If I put it out for garbage, take it. You know, that's me. We were in the city a couple of years ago. This is a true story. And one of these, like, Chinese lions was out for the trash. I have no idea, for an apartment building. We went to the meeting. We came back. I stayed by the Chinese lion. My partner got the call. I came back, and I took it. Still in my yard.
Yeah.
So I was a poacher. Yeah.
And now you have this.
There's a lot of people, get their furniture in New York City.
Oh, I was amazed. The thing was in great shape.
Yeah.
Well, I have a family member that does that as a regular routine. I mean, they go around looking for old refrigerators, and they make parts from it. But we're digressing. You said that when they scavenger, I never thought of it as a negative, frankly. I kind of see the people coming around. It's like they have a route, and it's the same people all the time. So I'm thinking, well, they're making an honest living. But what you're saying is they're basically taking revenue away from the town.
Yeah.
What does the town do to get the revenue? Do they cash those bottles in? Or
there's not much you can do about it. And as I said, there is no law against that right now in the town of North Hempstead, but the recycling programs operate based on their economics are partly based on the sale of the commodities that come in. And so a lot of the things covered by the bottle bill, the glass is not terribly valuable, but aluminum cans are very valuable. Mm-hmm. And just to give you an example, if you compare a bottle bill state compared to a non-bottle bill state, the value of a ton of material in a non-bottle bill state is anywhere from $15 to $25 more per ton because of the content of aluminum in it, because it's not being siphoned off through a bottle bill.
Mm.
There is a lot of talk statewide in New York right now about the current impact of the bottle bill on curbside recycling, and maybe it's time to reconsider having a different way of dealing with post-consumer materials rather than with a bottle bill, maybe do it just through curbside recycling.
Hmm. Well, it's complicated.
Yes.
Now, around the world, I'm just going on the assumption that places that take all this recycled material, make it building blocks, et cetera, that's all government supported. That's why that's occurring. That's not private industry. You don't know.
I've
seen some.
You mean when you travel?
No. On YouTube, on Facebook, sometimes you'll see where they've built. They're condensing all the materials and making bricks, usable bricks out of plastic and yada yada. And then actually building stuff with it.
Yeah, those are more experimental things. There is a worldwide market for recyclables.
Okay.
China and India, for a long time, were the primary outlets as they were coming into, being industry-driven countries rather than the way that they were before. They drove the recycling market from the early 90s until just recently.
Okay.
Because there are so many people in China now entering the middle class, they're also generating the same kind of, and they have billions of people.
Right.
they're generating the same kind of recyclables that were coming in through America and Europe and places like that. They're now not taking the volume that they took in the past from the United States and Europe because they're generating a lot of their own dealing with it.
Right.
Yes. And they were, it's a worldwide market, and when there's high demand, the prices go up. When there's lower demand, the prices go way down. So it's a very volatile market. Sometimes it will stay up for 10 years, and then it will be down for five.
Right, okay.
I believe there's a major need to educate people, and I know you're a one-man band here, but there are, I mean, let's just get down to the basics. Like when I grew up as a kid, I was told if you had a piece of paper, put it in your pocket and wait till you get someplace to throw it out.
Okay.
Well, I think there's the whole recycling and cluttering mentality all go together. I believe there's a lot of people that could care less about recycling, and they're wrong. And they don't care if they throw their coffee cup out on the corner, the same corner every morning, and pile it up on whatever street they drive on, and they don't care. I don't know how you educate people to care about that stuff, I guess, just looking at the top level of it.
Well, for some people, it will always be a challenge to get them motivated to do the right thing. But you hope for the best, and you try to send out as much information as you can so those people who are willing to do the right thing actually do it. But it's a constant effort. You have to keep, you know, as I said earlier, recycling is not easy. There's a lot to remember, and that's why you have to remind people on a regular basis. Why we sent out the brochure and why it's so thorough, it's really a reference document for you to keep in a drawer. And rather than having to call the town or look on the town website, you can check the brochure because it addresses most of the issues that you might have, both for your garbage and for your recycling, of how you prepare them and how you set them out.
Yeah, I think it's a great, you know, I don't know if everybody, people who were listening, maybe the 23 people that listened to the show.
It's gone up, yeah. You know.
If they didn't get this booklet, which it is.
They can call 311 and one will be mailed to them.
Right. But I think it's a great booklet. It's very clear. It's, you know, covers a lot of stuff.
We also have a one-page version that we send out with the decals when people request decals that people can just put with a magnet on their refrigerator to remind them.
Right.
Do you ever see fines coming? I mean, like, we're just talking how it should be put out, and I agree with that 100%. And so if it takes me an extra 3 or 4 minutes, Supervisor Bosworth, I don't know if it was on the show or in a conversation when we were talking about it, was telling, you know, you take your pizza box and you throw it away. But if you take the pizza box, you know, sometimes they push the top down and you have the sauce on the pizza box. That can't go in with the paper anymore because now it's contaminating all the paper. So you got to take that piece, just put it in regular garbage,
right,
throw the rest of the box away. Do you ever see the time coming when either the state, the county, or the town turns around and says, guess what, you know, I've sent you 6 notices, now it's a $25 fine?
Well, I come from running New York City's recycling program, and in New York City there are many tickets that can be issued to residents for improper recycling. So it was a bit of a shock to me when I came here and found out there really are no fines for improper recycling. Whether there will be in the future, that will depend really on our elected officials.
Right. Okay.
And
but it does exist. Fines do exist someplace.
Fines do in New York City. They exist.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know. That's my question.
Yeah, actually, the city generates millions of dollars a year from recycling fines.
Interesting.
You know, your point about pizza boxes, by the way, I've been doing a little personal survey about pizza boxes. And to me, 99% of the time a pizza box is contaminated, no matter whether you like the idea or not. There's always some food connected to that pizza box. That's a result of an extensive survey.
Things we keep reminding people in the brochure, if you're in doubt, throw it out, because we'd rather you throw it out than include it and cause bigger problems.
Now, question, what happens to that pizza box when it gets into the normal trash? Like, it's now in with all your other garbage.
Well, the problem with any contaminated materials is, again, this is a commodity, And when, just like any commodity, when commodity prices are high, people's standards are lowered. In other words, they will take more contaminated material when the value of that material is higher and higher.
Understood.
As soon as the value of that decreases, they're much fussier. When I was with the city of New York in 1994, paper went up to $200. We were being paid $200 a ton. At that point, you could deliver contaminated paper to people and who are buying paper, and they would take it. Now, all of the outlets for paper are very fussy about any kind of contamination. If a pizza box with grease is sticking out of the bale, do you know what a bale is? Mm-hmm. It's when you squeeze it all together into a cube for shipment. They will reject that bale. And so it traveled all the way to a place like China, and it's going to be sent all the way back. So contamination is a big issue. If it's a small amount of contamination that's really invisible, then they'll accept it. But the heavier the contamination, the more likely it is to be rejected as a useful commodity.
Yeah, that's it. This makes me flash back on a lot of things here. But I'm old enough now that I do remember we used to have paper drives. And I played basketball for a church team when I was a kid. And we would have a paper drive. The church would actually get a truck, and people would save their paper. When we came around, they would give us the paper all wrapped up with cord on it, and we would wind up with a truck full of paper, which back then you could go to these places, I don't remember what they were called, but and get money enough to support our basketball program.
Wow, I don't know.
Yeah, before recycling became mainstream or municipal recycling, that's how a lot of the paper dealers who took post-consumer paper got their paper through Boy Scout drives and things like that.
Yeah.
Amazing. Actually, we're out of time. It's amazing how quick this goes. Robert, I want to thank you so much for coming on. The most important thing I want to leave today with is call 311 if you have a question in reference to recycling. And I'm sure you could even ask and get through into Robert's office or somebody in that department to turn around and say, here's my issue. And the more you learn now, before the taxes and the fines start coming, I think it's appropriate because the day has to come. In my mind, the day has to come. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We're right back.